This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere.
What's going on, Caps fans? It's me, the Hockey Troll, and I'm here with That Snack, Polly Cupcakes.
What's going on, Troll? Everybody?
It is officially our first recording session in December, so if you're new here, we're going to have our Monday episode. We'll be talking about the league in general, league news, injuries, other things that we can talk about, and then, of course, we're going to be covering your very own Washington Capitals. And it's December, folks, so, you know, Christmas is around the corner, and then a new year, and then 2022, you know? Life is a drudgery, and you're in a constant state of decay. If you're an OG fan, though, thanks a lot for sticking with us, and we hope that we can make your life less drudgery-like. You guys depressed yet? Anybody depressed yet? All right. I think we should just pop them and get them going, right?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Oh, man. All right, so as you can tell, I'm quite the Scrooge. Polly, are you excited for Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, I think all the gifts that I wanted to give are purchased, so now wow. It's kind of just enjoying the season, the movies, the music. I like those things, and the food, all the Christmas-themed candy and the feast on Christmas Day.
Can't forget about snack time, for sure.
Absolutely. This is a month of snack time.
I know, dude. Like the chocolate chip cookies? My mom makes the best.
Yeah, my mom makes some nice homemade peanut butter cookies. Those always hit the spot.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Very good. That is one bonus of Christmas. I just hate having to buy other people's shit a lot.
Yeah.
I've bought two gifts, I think, and I need to buy, like, many, many more.
Yeah, we've got a whole stack of gifts on a corner.
Oh, it must be nice. Do you have a fake tree? Or
yeah, we have a couple like 4-foot artificial trees. We haven't put any up yet because the youngest puppy is a terror and we don't trust her, so we've just kind of put it off. But normally, yeah, we use a half-size fake tree, and it's actually decorated. It's got a bunch of pears, and then there's a partridge to put in it. So it's a partridge in a pear tree. It's a themed thing.
I hate you.
It's clever. It's like a big pun.
It is. It is. Okay. We go and cut ours down every year at a farm that I know. And it's pretty cool. I mean, that's a nice part. It was fun. But yeah. Anyways, enough of this Christmas shit. I know, Polly, you want to talk about something that is not to do with the NHL or really any good hockey to speak of, but it is hockey related, right?
Yeah. So, you know, last week you were saying how you've never seen me score high glove. And, you know, like the stud that I am, I went out at the next hockey game and proved you wrong.
Mm. All right, so I'm going to pull up the put the thing on your screen, and we actually have thanks to Live Barn, we actually have footage of this play. I am on the ice, so it was a plus for me. And I guess roll the tape, and I'll give the walkthrough here. So puck's coming in on the left. There's a shot. We retrieve in nice little keep there at the blue line. You get it on the half boards, pass it up, and then it kind of like backhands to you, and you bury it. High glove, just like everybody said. Just like you said. To that point, I had never seen you score high glove. And now I wasn't wrong. I just, you know, now we're there.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe you hadn't seen it or didn't recall it. But that definitely wasn't the first time I've done it. But it just was, it was a little extra sweet because it was 2 days after you had said that.
That's true. And like, I was wondering, so I was quite drunk last time when I was saying that, but I was wondering why you were chirping me on the bench, like, hey, that was high glove. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, yeah. Oh, that's why.
Yeah, you just, like, looked at me, and I was like, come on, man. Like, I made a TikTok out of this and everything. Or not a TikTok, but I think that was the video clip for our Monday episode. Put that, you, because that whole conversation was, you were saying, you know, if you get it past the glove, you're probably going to score. And I was like, yeah, you will score if you get the puck past the glove. And so you found a way to make it an insult to me. And, you know, I just want the fans of Hemphair to know, listeners, that Chunky Snack Time Polly, even though I look like a freaking brick on the ice, can still go high glove.
Yeah, you still got the ripper, that's for sure. And, you know, we won't even talk about what that goalie was doing. I mean, I remember watching and being just happy that you scored, but a bit of a change-up speed, I would say.
Yeah, it probably was, but he was also really out of position. Like, yeah. not to take away from my accomplishment, but you know, I capitalized on his mistake. We'll go with that.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, now let me ask you this: were you aiming for that?
Yeah, I was. I mean, I was. I wanted to keep it near side because I figured that was my best chance due to traffic and just my mediocre hockey sense, and it paid off.
And when you shot it, were you like, I'm gonna prove Hockey Troll wrong?
No, I wasn't thinking of it until it went in, and then it clicked.
Subliminally, though, I'm sure I was there driving you for that goal, so you're welcome.
Absolutely. You know, you are just the angel on my shoulder.
All right, Capstans. We're going to get into some league news here. The Colorado Avalanche got to utilize an emergency backup, an E-Bug goalie, which we always give the E-Bug goalies a lot of love on this podcast, primarily because they're kind of regular people. Well, they're usually people who've played in, you know, at a high level, but never made it, and they work with the team somehow in the Carolina Toronto game. The dude David Akers was like a Zamboni driver for the rink, and that's how he got the call. This kid, though, Jet Alexander for Colorado, for the first period, was like a University of Toronto student. He got to dress, and at the Maple Leafs game, after Kemper went down in warmups, so he didn't get in the game, but he was a backup. He's 22, took the ice for warmups, donning the number one jersey, which is worn by former Colorado Avalanche Semyon Varlamov, and will serve as backup for only a portion of the game. By the second period, prospect Justus Annunen was en route from Loveland, Colorado, and he ended up taking over the backup duties. So that's a pretty cool little story there. And, you know, gotta love it. Moving on, though, the Chicago Blackhawks have filed a motion to dismiss Kyle Beach's negligence lawsuit, arguing that the statute of limitations expired before the hockey player's case was filed in court. This is a big downer of the show, and that's fucking bullshit. You know, it's literally the only defense that the Blackhawks have to stand on, and they're going to go through it with it instead of trying, you know, to reconcile things and just pay their dues. So it's not even did they do it, it's that they're not even arguing that they did anything wrong. Like, I think that it's pretty clear that they've done many, many things wrong. But the team themselves is taking this defense. What do you think about that, Paulie?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you use this as your defense, you're kind of admitting guilt, I think. Yeah. And I mean, I guess it's a good legal strategy, but it's shitty.
Right. Yeah. To put it lightly, right? I mean, it sucks because yeah, I mean, it's they're not even like, well, we didn't even do that, and here's why. In fact, they're just saying, like, they're just trying to get, they're trying to get out of it on a, what's a loophole in a technicality, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I can't really think of an analogy right now, but
right.
It's just, it feels like a kid being like, you know, you can't prove it, na 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 na.
Right.
Like.
And, I mean, the thing is that they can prove it, and, I mean, it has been proven, I think, and both the.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, if this sucks, we'll see how this plays out. I hope that the judge and jury, if it goes to a jury, will realize this is bullshit and say fuck you to the Blackhawks. I don't think it'll get to a jury, because I think this is a civil court case, so it's probably a judge that's going to have to rule on this. Hopefully that judge is like, you guys are dicks. This is terrible that you even went this way, and you've done the crime. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Malcolm Subban was traded to the Buffalo Sabres by the Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday for future considerations. He's been playing in Rockford in the AHL. I do believe that he's going to get some time with the big club, maybe in a playing capacity. We'll see, though. Future considerations. So another Subban that's in the organ or in the NHL. It's definitely interesting and cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what he thought. You know, they were in Vegas together, him and Fleury. Mm-hmm. Then they end up in Chicago together. But he right. ended up playing in the AHL, and he played, I believe he's 2-2-1 this season. But hopefully going to Buffalo gives him another chance to get some more NHL time, because he did get, I mean, he got a decent amount of games in Vegas before they brought in Leonard.
Right. You're talking Subban here.
Yeah. Subban.
Right. And I just don't think he was as ready, but he was highly touted. I mean, he was drafted and everything, so you know, people thought he had some promise at least. Let's see what he can do here. Maybe another level to his game. Moving on though, the Canucks have fired head coach Travis Green. This was teed up during the offseason. They gave him the first 20 games to see if he could figure it out. Obviously, he hasn't. The Canucks have not been playing very well. But here's where the sweet spot comes in. Reportedly, Bruce Boudreau, for ex-Caps coach, will be the new coach. I think we all remember him from the Winter Classic when he was going on a tirade at the third period of a game. You know, if you want it, you gotta fucking want it. Just basically reaming out the boys with a tirade of colorful language, if you will. Highly recommend at least reviewing that clip if you haven't. I usually try to watch it at least once a year. It's a classic in my eyes.
Yeah, gonna miss him on talking about Caps games, but you know, if he still wants to coach, it's good to see him getting back at it.
Yeah, and at a head coaching position. So, you know, because where he was in Anaheim, I believe, last. Oh, no, Minnesota. He was in Minnesota last.
Yeah, he was with Minnesota for
several years.
A good bit of time.
Yeah. And, you know, Gabby's a good coach, good offensive coach. It'll be interesting to see what he does with the team as far as his coaching personnel on the defensive side of the puck. It'd be really great to get somebody who's just like really, I mean, honestly, like a Todd Reirden or something, maybe on the defensive side, even though we've seen what he can do in a head coaching position. And now he's the assistant coach for the Penguins, but you know, somebody who's got a real defensive track record would be good for him. We'll see though.
Yeah.
The good thing is with Vancouver, you can only go up from here.
Right.
Injuries. Ryan Getzlaf is on injured reserve with a lower body injury. He just passed a big benchmark. Was it 1,000 games in the NHL?
1,000 points.
Okay. Yeah. 1,000 points.
Against the cap.
Yeah, that's right. So good for him. But looks like he's out. Anaheim's punching a little bit above their weight with that Troy Terry kid, who I have on fantasy. and that's the only good thing.
Zegras.
Yeah.
He's having a good start.
Right, and I believe Gibson's still in net for them. So they have some pieces. I think that they're definitely... I think that they're in a... Let me double check this, but I think that they're in a playoff spot right now. And I don't think anybody expected them to be there. Did you?
No, I expected California as a whole to be the bottom of the Pacific per the last few years, you know, just
sorry.
Sticking with that.
Yeah. And surprisingly, San Jose's in the first wild card spot, and Anaheim is third in the Pacific. So, interesting stuff there. There's a three-point spread between San Jose and Anaheim, too. So, we'll see. See how that shakes out. You know, the West is always a shit show, so... I'll say this. San Jose is tied in points with the Penguins, and, you know, we hope that changes here soon.
Yeah.
Quentin Byfield was activated off of injured reserve and loaned to Ontario of the American Hockey League. That's a rookie. I don't think he's played in the NHL yet. Definitely not for any extended period of time. But highly touted prospect. Hopefully he can come off the men, and maybe we'll see him in a Kings jersey, right?
Yeah. You know, I think he's the highest ever drafted black player. And he was number 2 overall last year.
Okay.
And he was it was his ankle or his wrist. He broke something in training camp.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And
so he might have made the team right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean I'd be willing to think he did, or I think he would, and he's probably just going to Ontario for, you know, just to get his legs under him before playing for the big league.
Right. So conditioning stint on back off of IR. We'll see. Nikita Kucherov skated with the Tampa Bay Lightning on Saturday for the first time since having surgery for a lower body injury on October 26th. Look for him to be out for until playoffs start.
Yeah, they'll stretch this out until May.
Right. Further complications, he might play a couple games and then, you know, quote-unquote re-injure that and need to take a couple months off. You know, Tampa Bay sure as hell doesn't need any help. They are still third in the Atlantic, and it's a tight race there. 3 points from 1-3. That's the spread. You know, if not for Florida coming out on fire and continuing that through the first 20 games, they might, you know, Tampa Bay might be, you know, 1-2 there. So definitely interesting to see. Tampa Bay has still been good. You know, I think everybody's looking at, I think they have the most pressure to three-peat out of anybody who's had that pressure on them in the past.
Yeah, I mean, they've, a lot of people think they're really good. And mm-hmm. people think they have the chance to do it. I feel like when the Penguins were coming off the back-to-back, people were kind of already like thinking three's too much. They're tired. It's not going to happen. But it doesn't seem like people have that same thought for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and I mean, you think that when they won the back-to-back cups, it was you know, the shortened season and
right
different playoff. So, you know, I'm thinking that there's an asterisk on both of those seasons. I know you don't, but...
Well, someone had to win.
That's true. But, I mean, it should be noted that they didn't have to play a full season, which is the hardest part about hockey, I feel like. 82 games plus the full tournament. So, I don't know, man. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, coming off of, you know, comparing it to the Penguins back-to-back, it probably... Probably played like 50 less games in right. that time span. So I definitely think it would be, if anyone was going to repeat in today's NHL, this would be the opportunity.
Yeah.
Coming off of two shortened seasons. But,
right, right.
I think it's a big ask, especially being in the same division as Florida.
Right. And it's still a three-peat. Let's not fool ourselves. Yeah. I mean, it still is tough, even if they played 50 less games. But
yeah.
I think that they would silence all haters and then also have the three-peat tagged in there.
Yeah.
So, I think that they have the most pressure in any case. But again, we'll see how it goes down. Still a lot of hockey to play, you know. About a quarter of the way through the season. We've got so many things that could happen. Speaking, though, of other things that happened, moving on to suspensions, Brendan Lemieux ends up getting 5 games for biting Brady Tkachuk. He bit him in the hand. We talked about this last week, and we were wondering what was going to go down. I think that the NHL has calmed down pretty severely on this. As they should.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they should. Like, biting, there's absolutely no excuse for that in anything other than eating food. like, you know, and it's just perfect that it's Claude Lemieux's kid, right?
Right.
I mean, with the reputation that he had, and I think people were even saying that Claude Lemieux and Keith Tkachuk went at it a few times.
Sure.
So it's just kind of funny that their kids are doing the same thing, but
it's a blood feud.
Yeah, right. you know, honestly, I wouldn't have argued if he got more than 5 games.
It is. It's just ridiculous. It really is just fucking dumb to do that. First of all, but to you know, I'm dumbfounded as to why you would bite someone in any case. He must have been pissed. Because it wasn't just like he bit me, there's no mark. Like, okay, he probably just felt something weird. He had like blood on his hand.
Yeah.
Like he tried to Tyson him, you know, like take a chunk out of him.
Yeah, and I think if you draw blood on a human bite, you really put some force there.
Yeah. I mean, the human jaw is incredibly strong, but like, and the chewing muscles that we have, you know, especially ours, Polly, with how much we eat. But
yeah,
you know, I mean, this is wild, dude. Why the fuck would you bite someone? And then, I mean, I don't think I've ever been like so angry, at least in adulthood, where I'm like, I'm gonna bite this motherfucker. Like, if he gets anything near my face, it's done. I'm gonna bite him.
That's some real caveman shit.
It is, and I don't even I didn't see the play, like how it developed. I don't know if Brady had his hand in his face or something, and then he just was like, you know, to do it. It must have been. I mean, I don't think that he was in like the bottom of a pile and just started chomping at the nearest thing near him. And,
well, I think they went to the ground.
Okay, and. I mean, this clip I saw was Brady Tkachuk so mad saying he effing bit me. He bit me. And he's picking himself up off the ground. He's got his, like, hand out. And you can clearly tell there's a bite mark there. You're like, Jesus.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You know, you had yourself a little tussle tonight in roller hockey. Did it cross your mind to bite somebody?
No. I mean, first of all, I didn't have anything to bite. Everything was padded. But I was enraged. I didn't think that guy deserved like a bite. But plus, like, dude, of all the things you're gonna bite, it's the glove, ungloved hockey hand. Ugh! Like, yeah. my hands don't stop stinking for like 2 days after playing one game of beer league. You can just imagine those guys' hands smell like.
When it comes to hockey and the stink you get from your gloves. Your hands might as well be feet.
That is so unbelievably and scary and disgustingly accurate. You're absolutely right. So this dude basically just bit somebody's sweaty foot. Like, a normal person's sweaty foot after like a day of work. And, you know, they're peeling in the middle of summer. And they had to walk to work. And they're walking home. They're sitting down, taking their foot off, and just like peeling off that damp sock. Yeah, he bit that.
Yeah. He's probably proud of it too.
Well, yeah, probably. And the thing is that like all the blood. I mean, he drew blood, so like that's in you, man. Like you ingested that.
Yeah, I do not have. I would be very upset if I ended up with somebody else's blood in my mouth.
Yeah, I know how you like, are too. Jesus, that's like your worst fear.
Yeah, yeah, a random person's blood inside my body, unless I'm like getting a transfusion. Yes, that'd be terrible.
Yeah. All right. So that was weird, but yeah. All I gotta say is just don't try to rip my helmet off.
Yeah, or Hockey Troll will give you the Hockey Troll special.
Yeah, but I won't bite you. Oh, wow. Okay, Rod the Bod, or Rod Brindamore, as losers like to call him, was fined $25,000 following the Caps' win over Carolina. Now, I think Rod blew a fucking gasket on this one. He argued this after we got the 5-on-3 call for a clear slash. I mean, it broke our guy's stick. This was a... And it wasn't on the puck. The puck was never touched. I forget who committed the penalty, but he basically chopped wood onto the stick and was not going for the puck. I mean, he could have done the same thing. He could have got the desired result from like a two-handed play and keeping his feet moving. But instead, he's leaning into it like, you know, he's been all the way over throwing the chop. I don't believe that this was like a weak stick or anything, or, you know, a fluke on the broken stick. This was like, I'm going to break your fucking stick. And he did.
Yeah. I mean, it was a clear slash. And I think the NHL rules are pretty clear. I think all hockey rules are clear. I mean, you pretty much, if you knock someone's stick out of their hand, if you break the stick, like that's as clear cut as it gets.
Yeah. On a downward motion with force. Yeah. And I mean, the thing is that this was a foot above the heel of the stick. You know, it'd be different if you like hit the blade and snapped the blade in half or something. That would have been a little bit more like, okay, maybe. But I mean, it was so obvious. And then Brindamore is just losing his fucking mind. I mean, every blood vessel in this man's body was just pushed out of his face. His bright red, had a tirade, screaming and yelling. The league, he's already on the league's bad side, because, you know, and I will give it to him, like, I love it because I really respect Rod, but at the same time, like, I think he got this one wrong. Last time he got suspended for $25,000, the refs really did blow a game for him, and he wasn't shy about saying, yeah, the refs came in and dictated the result of this game, and that's fucking bullshit. I think that's cool. I like that about him and Tortorella, and, you know, yeah, you guys robbed us. I mean, we got fucking robbed, and the league should be held accountable. Now, do you do that in the presser while you're pissed the fuck off immediately after the game? Probably not. Should you go in behind closed doors and start doing, like, because there's a petition and there's a end of year conference generally for the NHL with all of the coaches, where they get in and they review calls and they say, I don't think this should have been a call, or it should have been a call. And I want to believe that the NHL takes that feedback and does something with it. But at the same time, like, maybe they don't. So maybe Rod just thinks that this is the best way to do it. Clearly not. Got hit with another $25,000. And this wasn't even in the presser. This was just for his irate on ice actions. So I think he's playing a little bit into his reputation as a naysayer of the league, but also I think he's on the league's shit list. I mean, we've seen Bruce Boudreau do it. Maybe it's just because it's Rod and Rod the Bod, and he's just so much more scary when he does it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Big Brother has to keep control of the charismatic, up and coming, handsome man who could stir up trouble.
Right. Yeah. The 50-year-old ripped guy who could probably put most of the guys in on his roster to shame in the combine. But, you know, I mean, it is a little bit different, like Rod the Bod doing it. I was genuinely, like, I was both aroused and scared at the same time. And, you know, that's not something that you get when, like, Bruce Boudreau loses his shit and, you know, tells the ref to go fuck themselves. I mean, that's kind of more just like, that's cute and funny versus that's scary and I'm horny.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, Bruce.
Simmer down now, Bruce.
Yeah, and then Rod does it, and you're like, I'm feeling things, and I don't understand them.
The natural reaction that my body's having is surprising, but I don't hate it. Boston Bruins forward Brad Marchand has been suspended 3 games without pay for slew-footing Vancouver Canucks defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Have both those guys on my fantasy team. I literally just dropped Oliver Ekman-Larsson. I thought he was going to have, and we were talking about this at the beginning of the season, I thought he was going to have a really good season, started out hot, and then has done jack shit after the first 5 games. Brad Marchand, on the other hand, carries my team and has really just fucked me this entire week. So... thanks Rat.
Well, you know, speaking of slew footing, a potential iffy additional move by PK Subban.
Yeah.
They determined he was not going to have any discipline for what some people are saying was a slew foot. Others are saying it was incidental contact.
I watched this game live. I thought it was Bridget. If you look at it objectively, yeah, that's kind of incidental. I mean, he comes up behind him and, you know, he gets him with his upper thigh. So, like, if you're going to slew foot, if you do slew footing well, you want to connect with the other player, like, either on the runner of their skate, like, kick the runner of their skate, the chassis, closer to the ground, out, or you're going to want to, like, get them, like, above the ankle. That's how I've... Because what the point is that you want to get that foot off the ice as quickly as possible, like, and easily as possible. You're not usually, like, hiking up your leg to, like, use your knee to, like, break the to the back of the knee of the other player or to the upper thigh of the other player. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if you're slew footing, you're going for the foot.
Right.
I mean, the only time I can remember ever pulling one myself, it was at a practice in high school when we were doing a team scrimmage, and my cousin and I, who we got into it a lot if we weren't on the same team.
Shout out, Buddha.
Yeah, shout out Buddha. Just, you know, competitive fellows that we are.
Yeah.
And it was, I believe it was a non-contact scrimmage, and he caught me with my head down and laid me out, and I didn't take too kindly to that. So as the puck went down to the other end and he's in the crease, I just came up behind him and I kicked my toe, hit his heel. And so that's how I did my slew foot. I mean, it worked very effectively.
Oh, yeah.
He woke up, or he got up mad and started swinging at me, but...
I would have loved to see this.
Well, he did, like, the Phil Kessel chop at my skates in shin guards. Yeah, we didn't drop him.
Okay.
But I think I deserved that, to be honest. It was a very cheap shot. But, yeah, if you're going to slew foot, you're going at somewhere on the skate, or just above the skate. You're not going to the hamstring. I think, honestly, PK was just trying to, you know, jockey for position.
Yeah.
And it happened.
And, like, when it happens and they I forget who it was that went down. I think it was Ehlers. He was like, dude, what the fuck? Like, sorry, man. Like, he tapped his shoulder and was like, oh, fuck, what the fuck happened there? And... you know, yeah. Palms up, looked at the ref, looked around, realized no call was going to get blown, and he, like, he skated on. But, yeah, I think that he kind of felt that. And I'm sure he's feeling a little bit of pressure to not slew foot people anymore.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
The slew foot in college for me was thrown at least 3 times a game. I slew foot people every fucking – I slew foot people in beer league. I slew foot people – all the time. It is a incredible tool to use if you can do it correctly. And the point of a slew foot for me isn't to make the person fall down. right? So, like, fuck, when I was in high school, we were taught to, like, clean out guys by kick, like, clean out, put, drive somebody into the boards, right? So, like, you're facing the boards, put your elbow in front of their, like, cross your body into their chest and clean them out with the elbow while you're, like, kicking their feet out from under them. And then that's, like, a, that's, that, if you can do that all in one motion, nobody's going to call you for that. That's a, it's a yeah. good, but that's taking the guy out of the play. Now, do a lot of people get injured doing that? Fuck no. I mean, that's not a real, you get railed into the boards, you're going to fall down anyways, right? A good hit. So this one is just less effort, but the guy falls and you can write it off to being tangled up. I employ the slew foot when I have to fucking try to move somebody who's huge. I mean, I remember there was some guys we played with in college were like, you know, a solid, like 250 cut. Right? I mean, I would think some of them were just big dudes.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, I'm still large, but I'm not very tall. And if they could skate really well and they're really strong on their skates, like I was just trying to move a brick wall and it wasn't going to happen. So, you know, at that point, you like get behind them and try to like shove them from the back, like on their hips, try to get their hips moving. Nothing. So I just go up behind them and kick their foot out and then move them. But the point was not to like make them fall over.
Yeah. Unless just I hit them off balance.
Yeah. Unless I was like really like pissed off and then they would fall and I'd be like, haha. And I'd always, and the point to do it, you always pull that when a shot from outside's coming. So like as the shot's coming and the puck is on its way, then you can like, you get away with a lot more in front of the net. Or you used to. So that at that point you can actually like physically move people. You can't just like maul somebody when the play's in the corner. You know what I mean? But so if you pick your areas right, the ref isn't going to be like looking at you. And the trick is to not like engage them too physically. Like don't get into the cross checking in front of the net until the shot's on the way, because then you can kind of like take some liberties.
Yeah. I mean, everybody gets distracted by the puck and right. Like you said, you take your liberties.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want me to coach your young hockey player, I'll be doing one-on-one lessons about how best to get away with shit playing hockey and, you know, what, $300 an hour?
Yeah, it sounds fair. You might even be lowballing it.
I think so. I mean, you know, I'm really in it for the kids, so.
Clearly.
Now, kids, first of all, you got to lean in on him with your shoulder and then kick his foot out from under him and then drive him through to the ice.
You know, if we were living the Slapshot movie, you'd be the guy who takes the sledgehammer to the bus. I'm making it look mean.
All right. Well, you know what's not mean, Caps fans? That is DraftKings Sportsbook. Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point's scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prize with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and with $100 in free bets and win $100 in free bets if they score. You score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Indiana, New Jersey, Indiana, PA only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So we get into talking about the Washington Capitals.
I agree.
Doing too much breaking arms, jerking ourselves off about our own hockey prowess, and we should be talking about guys who have real talent. What do you think?
Yep.
All
hockey
right.
Hockey prowess is a bit much when it's talking about us.
That's true. I guess prowess kind of alludes to skill and being good, but you know,
exploits is probably a better word.
Yeah. Philandering, our hockey philandering. Caps ran some pretty cool news. It's not really related to the actual, you know, games, is that Tom Wilson is still in the running for the Olympic Canadian team. It's going to be a rare and honestly a situation I'm going to have to experience rooting for a team playing against Tom Wilson if he makes it. I don't know if I like that at all. But
no.
At the same time, you know, we wish him well. I would love to see him make that Olympic roster. I think that he would add a lot to that team. You know,
I think they're down to like 55 names right now.
Wow.
And he's still in the running. You know, if I were ever to get a Team Canada jersey, it would be Tom Wilson or Joe Sakic.
Those are two really good choices. I agree. And fucking those new jerseys look so tight. I'm going to be honest with the Canadian jerseys look really cool. I mean, all three of them, but like the red and the black one, I mean, chef's kiss. Mwah. I hope he makes it. I mean, I really do. I think that he would be a great asset to the team, especially, you know, he'll probably get delegated to their checking line, but you might see him on the power play. You might see him, you know, he's a versatile player, you know. Caps fans, I'm sure you all know that the guy is a bona fide 20 goal scorer a year, 50 point guy. He can make plays. He creates a ton of space out there for his lineys. I mean, he does a good job. And I think that his skating ability is highly overlooked and underrated. I also think that his speed is the same way. On top of that, he's like a solid 230. You know, I mean, he's probably the only guy on the roster that outweighs Ovechkin.
Yeah, so I think he'd be really good. I think he'd be probably one of the better penalty killers on the team with Team Canada. And, you know, I just wonder, maybe going into a corner or in a puck battle, Ovi and Wilson clash.
Oh my god!
I don't like it.
I don't want to see it because if they do it, the world will just break in half, starting where they contact, just straight seismic, like Dragon Ball Z explosion, and then the world, the Earth, would just, you know,
yeah, it'll be like the opposite of the Big Bang. The universe will suck in on itself.
Right. So, you know, we'll see what the hell happens there. Wish him the best of luck. He's got stiff competition, to say the least. I mean, Think about all the good Canadian hockey players. We don't have to list who's on the chopping block right now because the list is too good and too many. But, you know, I've said it 100 times. If they took their first team and cut them all and then went with the second team, it would be a national embarrassment if they didn't win gold every year with their second team. So the fact that Canada is not out there winning gold after gold after gold is pretty trash, even though, you know, last year they weren't able to do it, or last Olympics they weren't able to do it because Russia finally got their shot and Germany as well. So yeah. I'm really hoping for a Canadian no medal finish just to see some riots.
Yeah, that'd be great. I love seeing Canada not succeed in hockey. Right. Honestly, if I see Canada play in another sport, I'm rooting for them.
Yeah.
Soccer, sure. Or anything else at the Olympics. But, you know, when it comes to hockey, I just want to see them crash and burn all the time.
Yeah, I mean, they are North American brothers and sisters up north, right? So that's a good thing. I we'll see. I think that this and you know, Polly, we were talking. The Olympics is still up in the air.
Yeah.
Because if somebody contracts COVID in China, that's a 3-week sit down they have to have.
Yeah, I read that in an article. So, you know, if it's wrong, the article was wrong. But I doubt the article was wrong because I'm sure whoever did their research. But, yeah, I mean, I can only imagine, you know, say someone contracts it towards the end of the tournament.
Yeah.
That's like 2.5 weeks of NHL hockey. And right. Then when they come back to North America, they may be forced to quarantine.
Correct. So who knows? Who knows what goes on? Hopefully that the NHL players will be able to do this. So, I mean, strange times, folks. We're seeing Alexander Ovechkin at 20 goals, and at 36, he's got the best start in his NHL career and the best start of most in the NHL in NHL history, and especially at his age. And, yeah, I mean, then we have also a global pandemic. So, you know, it's crazy that, you know, Ovi's a lock for, we've already said he's a lock for the Russian team. I wonder how he's going to cope. I would assume he'll be voted in as an all-star, but probably not play and rest.
Yeah.
So, and take the suspension there. But, which is awesome because the All-Star game's a joke. But, you know, it's a good time. It's a good time for the guys who make it. You know, it's kind of like a little vacay that they kind of have to play 3-on-3 tourney for. So, in any case, good stuff. But interesting times. We'll keep you filled in on Tom Wilson's status. Paul, I think you deserve – or I think the listeners deserve an apology from you.
Yeah, I do apologize. You know, normally I set up the outline. And even if I don't set it up, you know, there's certain parts that usually fall to me, and that is lining up next week's games so we can talk about them and properly make our predictions. I forgot the Panthers game. I guess I thought that the next game was in December, and so I just skipped over the last one. So we made our predictions based on a two game week, and there were three games. I think we'd like to forget the game anyway. You know, it was at Florida.
Yeah.
4-1 blown lead. No Ovechkin points. Tell me, does it get any worse than that?
No, it doesn't. It was the worst third period that I think the Caps have played in a long time. Years and years and years. Well, first of all, let me address, Paulie, we will forgive you just this one time. If it happens again, you know, look for your walking papers. But, you know, I would say, like, this game, man, I mean, it was so – the first two periods, like, yeah, like, this is amazing. But I always worry about the Capitals when they score in bunches in the first and second. Like, even if they do it early, especially if they score – if they go up, like, 5-0 in the first period, I'm always like, fuck, like – couldn't we have spaced those out, worked a little harder for him? You knew in the third period the Panthers were going to come out swinging for the fences, and that they did. And, man, this team just fell the fuck apart. Weren't getting to pucks, losing battles, and then having to make up for them with lazy play was what went to what? We had three penalties in that last frame, and they scored on, like, two of them. So,
and a shorthanded.
Yeah, and a shorthanded goal. I mean, whew, it really doesn't get worse than that. It was the worst end to a game. You know, we would have gone, you know, Florida beat us early on in the season, I believe, in overtime. But, you know, I was ready. I had all the tweets ready. I was like, Florida's fake news. Florida's not even that good. Like, they're not, I don't even know why anybody's worried about Florida. You know, obviously we got this in the bag. They're still the Southeast Division whipping boys, you know, same with Carolina. I had it all. I had it all just teed up, ready to go. I was going to just multi-tweet this thing, and typical Washington Capitals making me look bad.
Yeah, you know, lucky me, I jumped on the Slapshot Sweethearts live stream.
Oh, yeah.
For the third period, worst time I could have been there. And so I got to share that with the public, and it was not fun. It was good being on the show, but it wasn't fun that's what was going on in the game.
Right.
It was also Sammy's first regulation loss. And, you know, I think if there's any team that you can't let up on in this season's NHL, it's the Panthers.
Oh, no doubt.
They're high flying. They're hot. And, you know, it's not like we were playing, I don't know, Buffalo, right, you know, where we could just mail it in. Yeah, this is, as we've said in the past, one of the ones where we just want to burn the tape.
Yeah. And, you know, Laviolette did what he could. He saw it in the first 4 minutes, called a timeout, and told everybody to get their heads out of their ass. There was a lot of F's being read on the lips of Laviolette from my angle. And they needed it, and it didn't work. So, you know, I applaud Laviolette for taking that early timeout. And, you know, that last goal, the game winner, was just like the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, Sammy played an incredible game. I can't fault him for any of the goals except the last one. I would have loved to see him at least get us that loser point. But at the same time, yeesh. It was like the defense started to shit, the offense started to shit. I mean, and then it was finally the goalie. So I don't think we need to dwell on it too much. It was not a solid game. And that was a 5-4 loss?
Yep.
3-4 goals in the third?
Yep. 4 in the third.
Wow. Total trash. Moving on
to another trash game.
Yeah, so I didn't get to watch this one, thankfully, because I was at the Wheeling Symphony on Ice. Shout out Main Street Bank, Rich Lucas, for bringing that back and doing such a great job. I was impressed by the production value and the talent that was available to watch. And it was a fun kind of Christmas-themed night. They played Christmas music and saw like figure skaters and the local figure skating clubs from Pittsburgh and Wheeling out there. Good time. But why don't you drive this one there, Paulie?
All right. Yeah, so on the second, played Chicago. Schultz and Sprong were back in the lineup. You know, I had no idea that Seth Jones has a little brother playing in the show, and he's also on the Hawks. So
me neither.
I learned that during the game.
Hmm.
You know, it was a piss-poor first period. The Caps, they looked lazy, lethargic. They only got one power play, but nothing happened. And then the period was capped off a 2-on-1. You know, the defense had hopped up into the play. I think it was Jensen and Orlov. And Canes came down on a 2-on-1 because Jensen was stuck in the offensive zone. And Kane put it through Orlov, and DeBrincat danced around Vitek with a really nice move. And, you know, that's the end of the first period, not a good one. And going into the second, started off nice. Ovi rocked Murphy in the first shift, and I don't think he came back. It was a clean hit, shoulder chest contact, just the way you like it.
Nice.
but then on the next shift, fighting off a Chicago rush, Dowd, Hags, and Hathaway. It was a beautiful tic-tac-toe for Dowd to tap it in. I really like Hags playing with Dowd and Hathaway.
Me too. I think Carl Hagelin is an important part of the Washington Capitals team. I think that Twitter gives him a really bad... I mean, I don't know what the fuck you're expecting here on a breakaway from Carl Hagelin, but the fact that he even got that as a fourth liner, usually playing as the top two lines of the opposition, is good. So if you don't like Carl Hagelin, I don't know, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and he did have a post in this game.
Yeah.
He
can't buy one. I mean, he goes through these things.
Yeah, but you know, he's contributing. He's still getting his assists. You know, he makes really nice passes. He's very valuable out there, even if he's not getting all the points. But anyway, they tied it up 1-on-1, and then Kubalik beats Hathaway and then Vitek on the power play to make it 2-1.
Kubalik. Dominic Kubalik. Yeah.
Ovi got a chance to tie the game. He rang the post. And then 2:29 left on the clock, Ovi centers a puck, goes off a Chicago skate, then the post, and then Kuzi bangs it home 2-2.
Revenge tour continues.
Yeah. I mean, it was such a nice play. Ovi, his passing, just like every other part of his game, just keeps getting so much better. It was a thing of beauty. And, you know, Kuzi just showing us why we shouldn't have gotten rid of him. And yeah. Good thing we didn't.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then, you know, Hathaway took a penalty coming out of the box. He makes it 3-on-2. You know, he's hot. Love to see it. Hathaway is, you know, he's just been a grinder all this time, and he still is. But the fact that he can still, or the fact that he's been scoring, just kind of feels good to see him getting those rewards for his hard work.
No doubt.
Ovi had a good look. He hit Fleury's glove. I think Fleury just has his number, man. It doesn't matter who he's playing for. Honestly, we're lucky that Ovi even scored in the Stanley Cup final playing against Fleury.
Yeah. Yeah, Fleury's a bitch. I mean, he's the only Penguin that I would ever defend. And Jay Fresh, when we had him on the pod like a year or so ago, he was saying, like, you know, hockey fans and goalies, they're very, you know, you remember, like, the crazy shit that they did, right? And that is enough to sustain you for, like, an entire career. It seems, in Fleury's case especially. You know, he just playoff heroics, and everybody's quick to forget the Philly series where he was averaging, like, 5 goals against. Like, nobody remembers that. So, definitely interesting to see that.
Yeah, and then Seth Jones tied it up with 8 minutes left, so here we go again. Another overtime game. In overtime, Ovi, Kuzi, and Wilson all had their chances to win it. I know at least some of those went off the post. And, you know, we didn't lose in overtime, so that's good.
Yeah.
But then we go to shootout, and the posts continue. Kuzi, post, Sprong, Pipe, Ovi, nothing. Taves didn't score, but then Kane just right through the 5-hole. Vitek had no chance. You know, overall, I think this is a shit game. Should have won this one. The Caps didn't play terrible, but the fact that they didn't put this away in regulation for a victory against the Chicago team, in my opinion, makes it a bad game.
Yeah. And it is worth noting that Chicago is playing a lot better as of late, and coming into this, they were on a bit of a heater. But I wanted to win this game for more personal reasons regarding their recent scandal. And unfortunately we couldn't do it. We did get a point from it though. So, you know, unfortunately it had to happen against this team, but at the same time, those points are important, and we come out there scathed, but still kicking. As far as when you look back on this game, it's not going to be like, oh man, well, if we would have put Chicago away in regulation, like, oh, at least knock on wood, that they're not going, that it would have affected the season. You're going to have these games for sure, especially, I'm sure the Caps were a little bit gun shy. I'm sure that Laviolette bagged them, did something to them in practice. Yeah. After those 2 third periods in Carolina and Florida that were subpar at best. So, you know, macro look at the season, not a big deal. Micro look at the season, this fucking sucks.
Yeah, but, you know, a thing I think about with teams is, if you're good, you get the points you should get.
Sure.
Because, you know, a real high-caliber team, everybody has their off games, and there will be upsets. But if you're going to make it, if you're gonna win the division, if you're going to win the cup, you got to win the games that you should win the majority of the time. And I just think that's one of these games. But, you know, they didn't, and they were able to bounce back. But again, you know, no Ovi goal and a loss. Pretty terrible.
Sure. And, I mean, while the Hawks have not been great, I mean, they're seventh in the Central, right? But they just beat the Islanders today and Sunday in a shootout. You know, they're making things happen. Most of their wins have come in like the past month, so in November. So, what can you do? They're finding their groove, unfortunately. So
true.
I would
be rooting for them.
You what?
I would be rooting for them if it wasn't for all this. If this whole sex abuse situation had never happened, right, I would be rooting for Chicago right now to make a comeback.
Right.
But I'm like you. I can't bring myself to cheer for them because of all the terrible shit that's happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's move on to Columbus. We did finally get a full-on win here. And I was also unable to watch this game. So, you know, but the good thing is, I mean, this is a big regulation win that we needed. I mean, again, like you said, Paulie, we should be getting the points from the teams that we need to get points from, who are below us or beneath us in talent. And I think Columbus is one of those teams. I think that they're surprising a lot of people right now. But again, I think they're like the Ducks, punching way above their weight. Though I would like to see them deprive the Pittsburgh Penguins of a playoff spot. So, you know, as long as they can climb their way out of this and kind of get into a wild card spot, I'll be happy. But the Caps prevented that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, coming into this week, this is a game that really I thought would be more of a challenge than the Chicago game.
Right.
But it was a nice rebound after the terrible week they'd had. The Caps really seemed to control the majority of the game, at least from my vantage point watching. They outshot and outhit the Jackets, so that definitely goes along the lines of dominating a game. Protoss, he got the first goal of the game. It was a pretty nice in-close goal. And then Ovi had a snipe, which is 750 on his career, coming down the right side. You know, once again, he scores from everywhere.
Right.
Columbus got one in the third from Eric Robinson, but it wasn't enough. And with an empty net, Hathaway got an empty netter. What was really cool about this play was Cousy almost completely ruined the whole opportunity to put in the empty netter because he was holding on to it, trying to get it to Ovi, and they were on him like flies on shit. And so then I think the puck kind of got coughed up and Hathaway picked it up, and then he put it through three defenders. It was probably one of the tougher empty net goals you'll see, except for like the real highlight goals. But you know, Hathaway, he took some real skill to zip that through. And that's his seventh on the season. And that came into a 3-1 win. I think Sammy was in that, not yeah. D-Tech. But so Obi's goal, you know, that's his 20th on the season, 17 straight 20-goal seasons. It was his 118th game-winning goal. And he's the second youngest player to 750. And the second fewest games to get to 750. And, of course, Gretzky is first in both of those categories.
Interesting. That's good stuff. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's stranger than fiction, like I say every week. You can't make this shit up, folks. Ovechkin is a fucking machine. You know, there's nothing that... It's mind-blowing. I've never seen this. I've never seen this in my, you know, decades-long watching hockey career, which I can call it a career now because I get paid a little bit.
We are professionals.
We are professional podcasters. And if that doesn't make you feel fucking bad about yourself, I'm not really sure what will. I'm speechless. I mean, he's 36. At this point, guys are playing in Russia, you know, or Germany,
yeah,
or Sweden. You know, they're gone, or they've retired. They've gone into an analyst position. I mean, look at beautiful man Patrick Sharp. You know, I think he's like Ovi's age. He couldn't hack it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a Tom Brady situation.
Yeah, It really is. I mean, I don't know if it's the Russian gas or what, but and I mean, you know, what's interesting to me is that, do you remember early in Ovechkin's career when they were talking about PEDs, like the performance-enhancing drugs?
Not really. I didn't pay attention to too much chatter back then. I was still a youngin.
Yeah, but I mean, there was. I always remember there always being like, well, the only reason Ovechkin is playing this way, he was literally so good that people thought he was on, like, steroids or something.
Well, I mean, that's understandable that people would just default to that because of how magical he is.
Yeah, and I mean, with, I mean, the ability to play as a power forward in such a dominating way. I mean, you look at power forwards across the, so for across the NHL, when Ovi came in, a great power forward would be like Tom Wilson. He's a great power forward now, but if you're putting up numbers like Tom Wilson in the NHL that Ovi stepped foot into in his first game, you know, you were Tom Wilson, and that was a really good thing to be. I mean, it was a coveted thing to be in the NHL at that point. Ovi did that and then blew it wide open and scored 65 fucking goals and won Calder and Hartz and, you know, Art Ross, Richards, all of it. And really kind of just changed the way that power plays are set up and everything else. I mean, he really, I think that, like I said, I think we're going to look back on it and say, like, holy fuck, I mean, this guy Ovechkin really was groundbreaking in a sense. Not only will he be the best goal scorer of all time, but also this, I mean, the way he played changed things for people. never in the history of the game or in people's lifetimes had they seen a player that could hit and wheel and score like Ovechkin did. So,
yeah, I mean, he's got in the 3000s of hits. There was a graphic comparing goal scorers and their hits, and I think like the next closest guy was Crosby with like 800.
Yeah, and he's got 3,000. And the next closest guy in that same time frame was Ovechkin to score goals, or next to Ovechkin was Crosby, and he's like 120 behind Crosby is.
Yeah. In the time frame. Ovi, actually, since they've started keeping track of stats, I believe he's in the top five of hits in NHL history, which is since like the mid-90s, but still.
Wild, dude. And I mean, these aren't just like bumps. These are like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, like Murphy, who he sent off.
Right. Carted him off.
Yeah.
On a clean hit. I remember Ovi was years ago, Ovi was playing against the Canadiens, and he hit Hal Gill, at that point, who was a monster, right? Hal Gill was one of the biggest guys to play in the league at that point. You know, he was like right under Chara. He hit Hal Gill, who was standing in the slot, lost, as he generally was, and hit him so hard. He was in the slot, hit him so hard that he flew. He had the puck. He flew into the net, and the puck went with him. And they called the goal off for some reason, probably because of just like the destruction that was caused. But I remember seeing that and just being like, what the fuck? Like, how is that possible? I mean, Hal Gill is a solid 250, 260 at this point in his career, probably. And he's, you know, probably inches, several inches, few inches at least, bigger than Ovechkin. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that really just defies physics.
Right. Like, hit him and, like, Hal Gill was, like, leg straight, arm straight, ass into the goalie, who I believe was Carey Price at the time. And right into his own net. Crazy stuff, man. Crazy, crazy stuff. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the takeaway here is, other than just be happy that you got to witness this greatness, Caps fans.
Absolutely.
Let's move on to our last week's predictions. I went with the Caps going 3-0. They shoved that right up my hoop, because I did a guest spot at the Pizza's Here podcast, and I doubled down on it. And I said that the Caps were going to go 3-0, but Ovi wasn't going to score any goals. I was wrong.
Yes.
Paul, I think what would you have revised? Well, now, I mean, it doesn't really matter. You said we were going to go 1-1. One regulation loss, one regulation win.
Yeah, looking at like just think I probably would have said 2-1.
Yeah.
I would have expected the Chicago win.
Right.
So with my 1-1 prediction, I don't know. I'm kind of in the ballpark, I guess. But yeah, I said Ovi would score one. I was right.
Yeah, he only scored one. So I'd say two dubs for Pauly. He gets 5,000 imaginary life points.
Yeah.
Good job, Pauly.
Cash those in someday.
One day you may be able to cash those in for a small gift wrapped plush toy that was made in China for 30 to 40 cents.
Sounds great.
Delivered. Yeah. It's like going to like Chuck E. Cheese. Remember all those ticket machines that you could win tickets from? And you were so pumped to get like the shittiest thing. Like, here's a spider ring.
Yeah. Or a bouncy ball.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. All right. Next week's games, we are at home versus Anaheim on the 6th versus Pittsburgh at home on the 10th. And following that, the 11th at Buffalo. Two home games and then off to upstate New York. And in the great, the line from Goalie, the Terry Sawchuk movie, you know, I spent a month in Buffalo one night.
Yeah.
I'm saying Ovi has 3 goals and we go 3-0. It's bounce back week, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. I think Ovi's going to score 2 goals. And I think Caps are going to go 3-0.
Let's go. We are aligned. We are aligned. We're ready. We're primed to win. Both of us. The Pittsburgh matchup's going to be tough, man. You know, I hate to see Pittsburgh win at all. They've been kind of rocky. Tristan Jarry has been playing really well. But I hope to just bring him right back down to fucking reality again. Just rip one off 6-0 or something like that. It would be great. Let's improve on last game that we played against them. Anaheim, they're a little scary. I think of all of the teams other than Pittsburgh, we're playing 3 times, but like second, a very close second, I would even call that a 1B threat, would be Anaheim. Anaheim is, like I said, punching above their weight, though I do think that they have a lot of weakness in the defensive and depth category there. So I want to say if the Caps can play, you know, at least 80% of their game, that they're going to be able to break one off inside Anaheim. But I don't know. And then, of course, Buffalo is fucking trash. So I watch. We're gonna go 2-0 until the 11th, and then we're going to just like get blown out by Buffalo or something stupid.
That'd be par for the course.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Next, or on Thursday, I'm going to be talking about the Gretzky slander that I've seen. Okay? Folks, it's got to stop. It's got to, like, I understand that most of the people that are saying that are, like, fucking 20 years old, and they never really got to see this game pre-2005. They don't even know what the fuck hockey was before 2005, back in the clutch, or as it's been called now, like, the clutch and grab era. You know, things were different. Things were, you know, I feel like I'm fucking some old man sitting on a fucking porch yelling into the air and punching into the air. You know, but look, there's a reason he's the great one. And if he wasn't, his record would have been challenged earlier, right? I mean, the dude is like 60 now or some shit. It's crazy that it's been decades until anybody's even sniffed his record, and it will be decades until anybody, these are records that were previously considered never to be broken. That's very rare in sports to find that, right, Paulie? I mean, I can't think of many records in all of sports I mean, I can't think of anything in football, especially. I mean, Tom Brady's becoming the GOAT, but even he, you know, what, it's like 6 or 7 rings?
Yeah, I think he has 6 rings.
Right.
No, 7. He has 7. 7.
Yeah, so it's crazy. But, that's nuts.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I mean, like, in football, like, the... It seems like the last couple years, or over the last decade or two, every few years, a new quarterback breaks the all-time passing record. It was, you know, Peyton Manning, and now Drew Brees, and it just keeps, they keep re-breaking it as the game changes because they're passing more often. But the right. exact opposite is happening in hockey. As the game changes, it's getting harder to get these goals.
Right, right. So what are you going to be talking about on Thursday?
I'm going to talk about some what ifs on Ovechkin. I don't know. I guess just fantasies of what he could accomplish in single game performances. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah. So, Caps fans, you know, get a light a candle, get some lotion out, grab a snack. We'll be providing the entertainment. Thanks for tuning in, Caps fans. Thursday, check us out. And, you know, if you feel the need, we would love it if you would rate the podcast wherever you're listening. 5 stars only.
5 stars only.
Until Thursday, Hockey Trio Poly Cupcakes, signing off. Hey, Caps fans. Thanks for tuning in to the official Caps Trio Podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, the Hockey Troll, at Hockey Trolling on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And follow me, Polly Cupcakes, at Cupcake Polly on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And follow the show's handle, at Caps Chirp, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network, at HockeyPodNet on social, and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com, the Hockey Podcast Network, every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.